A very, very, very important meeting will be held on April 24th,
Absolutely.
where there's a joint meeting of the Franklin Town Council and the Franklin School Committee.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial, in the car, at home, 102.9. There was a council meeting last night, and yes, it was a bit long, but Thursday morning, we've got our town council chair, Tom Mercer, to help us recap as to what just happened and what does it mean for us. So good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm a little tired, Steve,
I wonder why.
but all good. It was a good meeting. It was nice to have so many people in the council chambers. That's happened a few times in the last few months, which is really good, regardless of the reasons they're there. That it's just a good thing to have that many people interested in what we're doing, be it pro or con.
Yeah, I certainly did not feel lonely last night. There were a number of folks who were there for multiple topics.
Exactly.
So I applaud that engagement. Clearly we have some work to do on a number of fronts, but we'll get into that.
For
And
sure.
certainly I got some exercise changing the mics up and down as a lot of folks had opportunity to speak.
You got your exercise last night.
Yeah, not a whole lot of steps, but I got my exercise. I did not sit in the one chair like fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon the case, some of you counselors just sat there all night too.
This is true.
So anyway, getting into the agenda, you had a couple of license modifications. One, as I understood it, and was kind of clarified and explained, the Table and Vine, which is a separate entity operating the liquor licenses within Big Y, they're going through some financial planning. So they've got some estate moves, et cetera, and all of that, unfortunately, is paperwork that you still, because you're the legal body, still need to approve.
Exactly. And sometimes this gets a little more frequent than we'd like it, but whatever the case is, legally we have to approve. It really has absolutely zero effect on the Big Y in Franklin. It's just all corporate changes. And that's really within the family. So,
Yeah.
but we're required by law, by ABCC, that we have to sign off on that. And basically, it's one of those housekeeping things that we need to do.
Yeah, and I think as we've discussed, and certainly has been also mentioned, I think in jest or otherwise, shortening an agenda, there may be consideration at some point for town council procedures towards that end in an agenda where you've got some of these really technical things where there's no operational impact, kind of put them in almost like a consent agenda piece so that you get one vote as opposed to, 10, 13 votes.
Absolutely.
And still gives you the authority, still gives you the review. And yay, if there's something in there that really needs discussion and somebody has a question on it, it can still be done, but doesn't really force you to go through and thereby. Realistically, it's time, it's business, it needs to be done, but maybe can be done a little bit more efficiently for some of these things that are truly paperwork. And then related, but it was another license transfer, but truly a transfer. While it was, quote, a new, because of the way Dacey's Market had gotten the initial license, and then you did a home rule petition change to expand the license, they're now selling it to a new party. So it's new and a transfer at the same time.
Exactly. And again, to a degree, it was a little bit of housekeeping in the sense that the ABCC, because of the fact that this was a home rule petition license, which basically means that we were at our limit and we requested to exceed our limit by one for this particular license prior, the prior owner.
Right.
And because it was that type of a license, it was required by ABCC that it be listed and come before us as a new license.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened last night. And again, with this particular license, it can't be transferred from that location.
Right.
It can be transferred from person to person, but it cannot be moved. So that license is only good for that location, period.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things there was some concern within the council because it was so soon after we did the home rule and actually got the license for the prior owner, that all of a sudden it gets sold. And to kind of protect what the intent was when we requested the home rule petition, we put an amendment on the license that it would continue to operate as a deli convenience deli,
right,
as well as a all alcohol. So that's kind of the very short version of what was transpiring and what was questioned last night.
Yeah. And to clarify for the listeners as well, this would be a circumstance where I think in terms of my proposal for kind of that consent agenda, because the ownership, not just technically, but in fact, operationally was changing, still should be something you would review in my view. But obviously that's still a proposal. We're just airing it out here now, et cetera. But that's one of the differences, where the other one was purely legal ownership paperwork changes. Here there is actually a transfer. So there's a new person owning it. They still have to go through the standard questions, I think, in terms of the tip certification, validation, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I think you handled it well in this case. The other one could have been done a little bit quicker, but yeah, room for improvement.
Yeah.
And then at least from a time perspective, we'll take a couple of resolutions out of order. So you had a local acceptance of a general law that apparently had been done at some point in time that permitted kind of the inspectors to also work within the town and obviously not inspect their own work, but to make it at least economically feasible for people who are part-timers to still maintain their operation.
Right. And over the years, things had changed. Our building commissioner came before us and was explaining it last night, where it could be as far back as when we had a selectman town meeting form of government, and when it was actually first discussed and put in. So legally, we needed to get this on the books as a resolution. So that's what we did last night. And basically, to your point, what it does, it allows our part-time inspectors or our inspectors to actually, whether it be electrical or plumbing, to continue to run their own business, but still be a part-time inspector for the community.
Yeah, so I think to disagree very slightly on one minor point, electrical was referenced by this particular piece. I think Gus Brown, our building commissioner, said he still needs to go check to see if the plumber one, which was done before, still applies.
Yeah, well,
whether
exactly.
You need to do something for this.
Yeah. So anyway, again, a little housekeeping that these are the kinds of things that sometimes come up, and we need to clean up the process. So that's basically what we were doing last night.
Right. And then you had another happy moment too of a gift acceptance to three different departments for our Veteran Services, Senior Center, and Historical Museum. The gratitude and the graciousness of the community members in continuing to give.
It continues to be such a wonderful thing to see the support by the community, whether it be individuals or corporations or local businesses that continue to support some of our services within the community that could really use those funds to expand some of the programs that or programming that they continue to do, be it the Senior Center, Veteran Services. They do so much good work, and having additional funding come from our community is just great to see, and just can't continue to thank them enough.
Yep, you take every opportunity that you can, and they do give you frequent opportunities.
Yes, they do.
And then the bulk of the discussion last night was around the friendly 40B proposal, which is starting to work its way through the process. In terms of the friendly 40B piece, they've already gotten some preliminary non-binding approvals from the Planning Board and Conservation Commission. But I think to summarize, there's some room for improvement since this is the second one and it's still a new process, to kind of tweak the process to overall improve it. And to that extent, I think you also kind of, you didn't take action on it other than the departments and town administration need to coordinate some additional meetings and mediation discussions, if you will, before coming back for a vote.
Yeah. You know, as the meeting went on, and as you said, it was very lengthy. There were a lot of good questions, a lot of concerns from the community. And I agree with you. You really need to truly understand this process of a friendly 40B. But anyway, the discussion continued, and a lot of it, you know, a lot of the concerns were traffic on 140, understood, the site, the cleaning up of the site, the protection of some of the neighbors, can some of that be improved? All of these things were good questions, but the point that I made at the end, where I requested that we kind of move this off and ask our staff to work with the developer and get some of the residents' input, and take a lot of what was discussed last night and see how we could possibly make this a better project for all. And the point was in a memo that Jamie had sent out as part of the packet, stated that there was residents had an opportunity for input along the way. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, all of these meetings are public meetings, so anybody could go. But there was a clear sense, or I got a clear sense from the room last night, that wasn't the case. Where the fault lies as to the communication with the residents doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that they get the opportunity to do that. And by asking the developer and asking the town administrator to get our staff together, notify the residents, the abutters and so forth, that want to have input with the developer, get them all together in a room and see how they may be able to tweak some of this and make it a better project, more acceptable project for the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And that's where I'll be working as we talked offline with my suggestions in terms of an overall process improvement. I'm a process geek, so I see some potential enhancements to improve the process and clearly around some of the communication pieces. And I think clarification around the role of the council in this. It explicitly says the planning board piece is non-binding. It explicitly says conservation commission piece is non-binding, but it doesn't really clarify your role. And I think some people are expecting that by the time the proposal comes here, it's fully baked and vetted. And that's not the case because there's still a whole lot of work to be done. This is kind of like, oh, this is what we're thinking. This is the preview. Can we continue with your blessing? And people, I think, are misunderstanding that. So we need to be better clear around, you know, what's going to happen
it's,
there.
It's like page 4 of a 20-page document.
Yeah. Or 400-page document.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very true. And, you know, there's a couple of ways that a 40B can be done. And, you know, if the council were not to approve it, they can go to the state and then come back to the ZBA and get approval that way. That's another option that's out there. So, you know, again, a better understanding by all of what the process is, and why a supportive vote of the council or not a supportive vote of the council is important to the process and how this works.
Correct. Yeah, because for reference, specifically, this is the second one in this new process. And the first one was a negative vote for the 121 Grove Street, and they're still working through the details of the process. So, it's still happening.
Of the other process going, not around the council, but going instead of working with the council, they go to the state, and then the state comes back to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Right. So more to come on that. They'll be back. There'll be additional meetings and discussions between the developer, various parties, as well as the abutters, neighbors, et cetera, and anybody else who wants to be involved. And then in our recap, briefly, at least, town administrator released some breaking news last night, and there's a press release coming out today and a new website so that the status of our DPW director, Brutus Kenderegi, who had been suspended, he is now being reinstated. And there's a whole lot of details still forthcoming on that one.
Absolutely. The town administrator did announce that under his town administrator report last evening, where Brutus is being brought back effective actually today. But at the same time, a release of all of the documents from the Ethics Commission to all of the internal reviews that were done. All of these documents are on the town website. The town administrator has sent out a press release outlining everything, as well as providing the link to the documents that anybody can go on and read through. Again, just so that people understand that this is a town administrator decision, not a council decision. All of these, it comes under his purview. Now, you know, nobody was born yesterday. Is he going to, you know, he's obviously going to listen. We did have an executive session geez.
The 24th, I think.
The 13th, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. In March.
The last couple of meetings. Actually, I think it was March 13th because that was the minutes that were released last night. So we did have an executive session where he just, where we had the opportunity, the council had the opportunity to express their views and concerns after hearing all of the information regarding the DPW director's ethics issue. So that gave him an opportunity to hear from the council. And were there different, you know, everybody has different opinions. Mm-hmm. So all of those were expressed. So we had an opportunity to hear from the entire council at the end of the council meeting, at the end of the executive session. You know, I think he was kind of looking for a consensus, which mm-hmm. he got from the council, supporting what his plan was, which he had given to us that evening. And what I didn't want to have happen, I wanted those minutes to be released at the same time mm-hmm. as everything else.
Right.
So that's why we had an executive session last night to, and again, sometimes this gets a little cumbersome, mm-hmm. but in order to release executive session minutes, you have to go into executive session to review them, make sure all of the counselors involved approve those minutes, approving them in executive session, and then release them. So the vote was made to approve and release the executive minutes so that they could be part of the document release that the town administrator put out
mm-hmm.
This morning.
Yeah, so a couple of key points I'll reinforce there, I think, in terms of what was transpired and then reading between the lines. And to be honest, I haven't read that. I think it's almost like 10 links. So I haven't read them all.
There are a number of links for sure.
So Brutus certainly was suspended. The state took action. Jamie continued to do due diligence. The results of that due diligence are included, and that's the multiple links. And then he further, since he reports directly to you as the council, he included you in the review of this is what I found, this is what I haven't, blah, 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 et cetera, and got your feedback during early March before actually continuing to, and I'm sure that made that date in terms of the reinstatement date may have been discussed then, but now we're finding out about it now. So it's new to us. But you've been included appropriately in the discussion, and Jamie's being as transparent as he can, obviously around a personnel matter. So, yeah, those tend to get a little interesting, let's say.
Yeah, they do get a little interesting, and they can be dicey at times. And, you know, we certainly understand that there are differing opinions as to what the punishment is. Some think it's too much. Some think it's not enough. You know, we had to look at all of the, or Jamie had to look at the whole picture and make his decision. That's why he's the town administrator.
Mm-hmm. He gets paid the big bucks for that, and we get paid the little bucks for reviewing that.
There you go.
Yeah. So there might be more on that as people continue to digest, but certainly I appreciate you for taking the time today to kind of recap at least the full 4-hour meeting last night.
Thank you, Steve. And again, there was a lot of information last night and a lot of good information. And I continue to say to people, please come to our meetings, tune in. If you have concerns, bring them to your counselor or bring them to any of the counselors. They'll mm-hmm. bring them forward. That's what you elect us to do. But the citizen involvement is something that has gotten better over the years. Is it where we all would like it? Probably not. But it's getting better. And I'm going to take a moment to make a plug here, because a very, very, very important meeting will be held on April 24th.
Absolutely.
Where there's a joint meeting of the Franklin Town Council and the Franklin School Committee will be held at Franklin High School in the auditorium. And it will be a public hearing on the possibility and conceivability of an override, and no decision will be made that night, but what will you as a citizen, you as a resident, will have the opportunity to speak and express your concerns, pro or con, to an override question. We are in very, very difficult times right now.
Yeah,
and, unfortunately, we're in this position for a multitude of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons, and we're not alone. Every community is facing the same issues, and most of it centers around the schools. And that's the biggest part of the budget in every community. So these are things that are very important, and we understand. Well, you look at it, we can only proposition 2.5, be it good or bad, it has a hold on every community that they can only raise taxes 2.5% annually, real estate tax.
Right.
And we've been fortunate because we've had a lot of new growth over the years. And that has helped us continue to be able to support a budget that is far exceeds the cost of living increases. If you look at inflation over the last few years,
as a single factor,
you just wonder. Just look at that, and you see, 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 8% over the last few years, and you say, "Wait a minute, we can only increase 2.5%." The math doesn't work.
No. Falling behind and behinder.
The further we go, the behinder we get. It's come to a point now where new growth isn't what it once was. And there's not a lot of property in the community left to build on. Single family homes. There's been, five in the last 3 years? Single family homes built. Again, the math doesn't work. So I just say to the community, please tune in, come to the meeting, let us know your feelings. And again, pro or con, as to an override question. Ultimately, an override is a vote of the community, of the residents. So please come to the meeting, tune in. My feeling is the process, just so people understand my thought process moving forward, or the council's thought process moving forward, is we'll have this public hearing on the 24th. Then the council will make a decision probably the first meeting in May, right, as to whether to put an override question out, what the date of an override is, and what the amount is. So this is an opportunity for everybody to come forward and let us know your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll reinforce that clearly, because the three pieces that you just ended with, if, yes or no, when, and what's the amount? Those are the three key questions that everybody's looking for. You can at least get your input on the 24th, and then stay tuned for May 1st and find out what the results are. And the second piece is overall clearly reinforcing the engagement. And I appreciate that certainly some people are not going to have the time to come to every single meeting. There are a bunch. I only can do so many meetings myself, as well as you can. And I see you a lot of subcommittee meetings and
I
happen
do
in.
try and get to as many as I can, but
Right. But the other piece is there are ways to at least know that there are meetings happening. You can check out the links, check out the agendas, and find something that does matter to you, and then participate and or follow more directly. And then if you can't go to the initial meeting, many of those are indeed broadcast, recorded, the videos are available, the audios are available if I do them, the notes are available, others may be doing something. You're not alone in finding info. There is plenty of info available, but yeah, you do have to take some action in order to find out what your interest is and where it's going. All that.
all
Yes.
that, all that.
Stay tuned. There's a lot happening and more coming. Thank you again, sir, for spending some time to recap as to, oh, what happened? Oh, okay, that's what's going on. Yes. Well, thank you. And we do this because Franklin matters.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.